A madman runs into a marketplace carrying a lantern in broad daylight. He shouts that he is looking for God. The crowd laughs. They are atheists. They do not believe in God already. But the madman turns on them with fury, not relief. "We have killed him," he says, "you and I." That scene, from section 125 of Nietzsche's The Gay Science, is one of the most misread passages in all of philosophy. Most people hear God is dead and think Nietzsche is celebrating. He is not. He is sounding an alarm. Now, the key idea here is what Nietzsche actually means by that declaration. He is not making a personal statement of atheism. He is describing a historical event. For centuries, Christianity had served as the shared foundation of European culture, morality, and meaning. Every institution, every value, every sense of right and wrong was built on that foundation. When educated Europeans stopped genuinely believing, the foundation cracked. The phrase "God is dead" names that crack. The madman's listeners are already atheists, siaka, yet they do not grasp the consequences. They think losing God is like losing a bad habit. Nietzsche thinks it is like losing the ground beneath your feet. He asks how humanity could drink up the sea and erase the horizon. Those images capture the sheer scale of what has been lost. The madman's lantern goes out after his announcement. No immediate replacement exists. He later walks into churches and calls them the tombs and sepulchres of God. The buildings still stand. The belief that animated them does not. That gap between surviving institutions and dead belief is exactly where nihilism enters. Think of a legal system whose founding documents have been destroyed, but whose courts keep operating on habit. The rulings still come. The authority is hollow. Nietzsche saw European morality in precisely that condition. The values remained. The justification for them had quietly collapsed. That means people were left with inherited rules and no honest reason to follow them. For Nietzsche, this was not a comfortable situation to ignore. It was a crisis demanding a response. He was not content to let people drift in comfortable numbness, pretending the old framework still held. He wanted people to face the void directly. Only by confronting it honestly could anyone build something genuine on the other side. The death of God, he wrote, was one of the most consequential events in history. Not because it freed people, but because it placed an enormous responsibility on them. That responsibility is where the will to power becomes essential. The concept is widely misunderstood, so pay close attention here. The will to power is not a hunger for political control or domination over other people. Nietzsche is explicit about this. It is a psychological drive toward the expansion and expression of strength. It is the urge to overcome resistance, to discharge energy, to grow. Nietzsche describes happiness not as passive contentment, but as the feeling that power is growing and resistance is being overcome. For example, a musician who pushes past technical limits to find a new sound is expressing will to power. A thinker who dismantles their own comfortable assumptions to reach a harder truth is expressing will to power. Nietzsche developed this concept partly in response to Schopenhauer, who had emphasized a will to life, a blind drive toward survival. Nietzsche replaced that with something more active. Survival is not enough. The drive is toward overcoming, toward self-transformation. The doctrine appears explicitly in Thus Spoke Zarathustra, though its roots run through earlier works like Daybreak. Nietzsche connects it directly to creativity and the revaluation of values after religious authority has faded. The takeaway, siaka, is this. Nietzsche's death of God is not a victory lap for atheism. It is a diagnosis. European culture had quietly dismantled its own moral foundation while pretending nothing had changed. Nihilism was the inevitable result. The will to power is Nietzsche's proposed antidote, not a license for cruelty, but a call to honest self-overcoming. Remember this distinction. Power, in his framework, means the courage to face a world without guaranteed meaning and to create value anyway. The absence of absolute truth is not a tragedy. It is, for Nietzsche's, the very condition that makes genuine human creativity possible.